consider it a privilege to meet with this group of people today and on a regular basis. The words that you may believe, or nearly that, is the way the King James says it, are on my mind this morning, and while that can be said certainly in a general way about this entire book that I hold in my hand, it is said a little more specifically in something that we'll look at a bit later. Now, a few weeks ago, we kind of emphasized Palm Sunday and then some readings for all of us, and then Easter, or perhaps we should call it Resurrection Day, since I suppose the word Easter has a little bit of a different origin. I got to thinking about Ascension Day and Pentecost. I suppose it's more familiar that Pentecost is 50 days after Easter or Resurrection Day. But then about Ascension Day, and this, I guess, shows the change from my generation to the generation before. I thought, well, when is Pentecost? Ascension Day. Does it even appear on the calendar? So I asked Joe, is it on the calendar? She didn't particularly know. Well, I looked, and yes, it was on the Open Hands calendar. Well, you would expect that. But then I looked at what I would maybe call a secular calendar, and sure enough, Ascension Day was there too. Well, what about Pentecost? Well, it gave the Jewish word, but it basically meant the same as Pentecost. Is there a scripture that says when? And obviously the ascension occurred between resurrection and Pentecost. I mean, we know that, but when did it occur? And I saw that it's plainly there in scripture. But how many would right off know how many days after the resurrection the ascension happened? Well, I see a few hands. Now, if we were still in, the generation before in the Amish tradition, keeping, I'm correct, am I not, that's kept as a holiday? Okay, we probably would know maybe for sure how many days after that was, but I saw it. Well, it is plainly there in Scripture in Acts 1:3. It says about Jesus, he was seen of them 40 days. Now, see, Pentecost being, or however it's pronounced, Shavuot, 50 days after Passover. See, I think it's just really significant that the Lord Jesus gave his life at that particular time. You see, he was the Lamb of God. And so then Pentecost, of the Holy Spirit being given, then was the 7 weeks or 50 days after that. And that was the time that holiday that I named, which now is called Pentecost. In the Old Testament, it was the Feast of Weeks, or sometimes called the Feast of Harvest or the Feast of First Fruits. I got to thinking, well, what events occurred between Resurrection Day? There's a number of things that are said about that, and Ascension Day. And what were the disciples feeling during that time? Obviously, the time between Friday and Sunday, there was just, a multitude of emotions, the up and the down, and the up. What happened during those 40 days? And it's not that there's a lot written about that. Now, about several incidents, it gives a fair amount. But I looked in Matthew through Luke, and really, there's not much said about what happened between Resurrection Day and Ascension. We find, of course, in Matthew about 5 verses, and they include what we call the Great Commission. Mark and Luke really say very little, although they record some of the things that Jesus said. Some of those may have happened actually on the day of the resurrection, some maybe a week later. But then the ascension and no details. Now, looking at John chapter 20 and 21, just a few verses there, and then also in Acts 1, John mentions that Jesus made, well, at least with this incident, made three appearances. I think probably there were more appearances later because Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, when he's writing about the resurrection, he said that he appeared at some point to 500 at once. And Peter, when he was preaching to the Gentiles, when the Gentiles received the Holy Ghost there in Acts 10, he said that he didn't appear to, just to everyone, but he appeared to chosen witnesses. But in this case, I think John says, and that's in 21:14, I think he says this is the third time that Jesus showed himself, because he's saying the first two instances were on the evening of the resurrection. They were together, and Thomas wasn't with them, and he appeared to them, and all of the emotions. Well, I guess he had appeared to the ones on the road to Emmaus, as far as that is concerned, and they were, I think Luke tells us then, that they were telling them these things, and then suddenly Jesus appeared. And so that would have been the first time. And then Thomas wasn't with them. That's recorded in John. And then he doubted, and they told him that. And then the next time, which was a week later, Thomas was with them. So that would have been, as John gives it, the second time that he appeared to his disciples. And then he showed upon Thomas his hands and said, this is what he said to Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they which have not seen and yet have believed. So this is why, that you may believe, was in my mind. And that's you and me. If we believe, we're among those that he says are blessed if we believe. Now, he gives some details about the third appearance then to his disciples. It just seems to me that it is evident that while we don't know much of what happened during those 40 days and just where he was, it seems like he was not with them constantly. He made an appearance, then he was gone. I don't know where he was or what he was doing, but it seems like, I guess Peter was wondering, well, what are we supposed to be doing? And so what did he say? In John 21, that's my way of saying it. What are we supposed to be doing? Because, well, I mean, nothing is happening here. And this is my conjecturing. But he said, I'm going to go fishing. I mean, that, why not? Because that's what he was familiar with. And so some of the others that were with him there said the same thing. And so they went, fished all night, didn't catch anything. And then Jesus said, cast your net on the right side and and you shall find, he said. Well, when he said that to them, it says in verse 4, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. But then after that happened, and after there was that great catch. And then in 7 it says, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now one thing I thought about when I was reading here in verse 1, that the wording there is, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. And my mind went back to something that author Roy Hessian wrote years ago. I read many of his books, and they were an inspiration to me, I would say, had a life-changing effect on me. But he used this figuratively. He said, you know, sometimes in our Christian life, and this is my words, We have maybe experienced the Lord, and maybe we felt close to the Lord, and then somehow there has a straying or a coldness come, and then when Jesus shows himself again, an experience of a renewal. Well, be that as it may, Jesus then told them to come. Well, they came up on shore, and Jesus had some fish frying, and then he gave that to them. And on then to, I don't know, I guess maybe the restoring of Peter's relationship with Jesus. You see, Peter had denied Jesus 3 times, and perhaps that's why Jesus asked Peter 3 times, do you love me? And Peter got exasperated and said, Lord, you know everything, and you know that I love you, and on, and the things he said about what death he should die. But why are these things written? Let's look then, and my Bible is one page later, and that is in verse 3, again, of Acts chapter 1, he showed himself alive after his passion, many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And so there must have been appearances that are not mentioned. But again, I don't think he was with them all the time. I think it was kind of a period of uncertainty. I don't think for the most part doubt. But I'd like to read then several scriptures that bear out what I said in the beginning. My mind has been on that you may believe. Here's what Luke said at the beginning of the Gospel of Luke. You see, Luke wrote both the Gospel of Luke, and he wrote the book of Acts. And there's a reason why he wrote it. Verse 1, "For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most assuredly believed among us." And while he doesn't specifically say that you may believe, I think clearly that is the intent. "Even as they delivered them unto us, from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had a perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed." And then in Acts 1, verses 1 to 3, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after which he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen." And then I had read that verse 3. He clearly wrote that they might believe. Now let's go back to John. At the very end of his book there, the last two verses, "This is the disciple," that's 24, "this is the disciple which testifieth of these things and wrote these things. And we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose, even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written." And then we'll close in a moment with the last two verses in chapter 20. He's obviously talking about, I think, his life on earth in general, not just about the period that I've been mentioning this morning. There were probably many things that could have been written about what Jesus did and how he appeared to his disciples during that time between the resurrection and the ascension. But again, the things that are there are that we may believe. And what a blessing that they have been passed on down to us. So, the verses for those to whom John specifically was writing, and the verses for us, because they are for us. You see, Jesus had just said to Thomas, "Blessed, you're blessed because you have believed. But blessed are they which have not seen," or actually, I guess he didn't say, "Blessed are you that you believe," but he said, "You've seen and believed, but blessed are they which have not seen and have believed." Now, these verses, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." That's the message for us today. Let's kneel. Lord, there are many things that we don't know about, things that occurred in Jesus' life and ministry. There are many things that we don't know about and understand fully. about you, about the kingdom of God, about your message. But the things that are written so that we may believe, and we embrace that. Thank you for each one who is here, who is a part of this body of believers. May you help each one of us to embrace this truth and to grow in it and to encourage one another. And may that be what the rest of this service, the entire day, is about, that we might be encouraged and that we might encourage one another. In the name of Jesus, amen.